Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
What is up, Wizards fans? Welcome to another Believe in Wizards podcast. I'm Matt Moderno. He's Jahadi White. Jahadi, it's the offseason, man. We made it. We did it. We survived. It's officially done. There are only two games left the last time we talked. I don't know. Where are you at with this? How the final thoughts on the season? Any big takeaways for you? How was year one of the rebuild?
It's the offseason. It's official like toilet tissue. you know what? It's about perspective, right? You can take a lot of good things from this season. You could take some bad things from here if you want to. But it's all about your expectations. Mm. Now, they kind of funneled your expectation a little bit, kind of topped them off a little bit, even at the beginning of the season. So if you had lofty expectations, well, then that's your fault. Pretty much. But coming down the stretch of the season, I did see a lot of good signs that I could take with me to next season.
Yep.
Right. New coaching change. Some trades here and there, some trades I didn't like, but then not that I dislike what we got out of the trades either. I didn't like the injuries that we got out of trades, but that's basketball. What you don't want to do is get a player who not injury prone for an injury prone type player. Right. So to me, that's not always the best one. But really, right here, right down to the end in the stretch was the best part to me when you got to see. Two things that I really, really got to see that I really liked. And the first one, most people still going to be like, give or take. But I like that I felt like Poole was starting to buy in. And I also like how I saw Poole go from two to point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I like how he took on that responsibility and how he said, how he cherished the responsibility.
Yep.
And then I like Vucevic, just him coming in and just kind of giving you a little glimpse of where we can go in that five position in the future.
Yeah, he's a nice dynamic that they didn't have. Unfortunately, you know, Gallinari and Muscala weren't really working out for them as the stretch five kind of thing. So nice to have like the stretch five of the future, basically. Before we get too far into it, let's just knock our ad reads out. Brought to you by Stateside Vodka and the Surfside Hard Iced Teas, and brought to you by Bet Online. It's your number one source for all your summer sports. It's MLB, golf, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, all that good stuff. You can also bet on the WNBA if you want to do that. The WNBA is really hot right now, so time to get on board there. Get the latest stats, news, and scores for all your favorite teams. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports. And you can head to the website and use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, so let's start with the rookies here for real a little bit. Basically, two-person for real rookie class based on who they draft. Koulibaly played 63 games before getting injured, averaged 8.5 points, 4 rebounds, a little under 2 assists, shot 44% from the field, about 35% from 3. Played pretty good defense. I think that was the biggest takeaway for me, is they gave him the toughest assignments. You know, threw him in the deep end of the pool on that end. Here, go guard Luka. And he didn't look absolutely lost. And I feel like just that alone for a rookie guy who was basically a project and nobody even expected to be in this draft class, that's like a huge win for me and a huge, hey, he's coming for people. And I hope people are patient about this, because there was no real expectation this guy would come in and be able to do that. So that he only averaged 8 points or whatever, like, just don't read too much into that. Like, the rest of the skill development stuff is going to take him some time. But if you can just hang on one end of the floor right away as a raw rookie, that's a great sign for us long term.
Oh, yeah. So you got to realize when Koulibaly first came in, we said a few things about him, what we expected.
Yeah.
But mostly we didn't know what to expect from him.
Yeah, exactly.
What we were most impressed by was his poise, his demeanor, his soundness. How he's been here before.
Yep.
How he seemed like he's been a 10-year NBA player, right? But outside of that, what we also was most impressed by was how he kind of brought that European game over, but in a tough sense, right? He's a tough player. He was very impactful on the defensive end. He's very strong defensive player. And at the beginning, he also gave us a lot offensively.
Yeah, he was a ball mover, and like that kind of, the ball didn't stick with him, and that's big for a rookie too.
Now, what I didn't like, how his offense diminished.
Yeah.
And for going, so, but what I also saw is that he is an offensive player. He can play off. So for me, with him, he just has to become a two-way player. He has to become a two-way player. One thing Bill Russell said, and I agree with all the time, in the end of the day, this game comes down to buckets. You can do everything else. You can play defense. You can block shots, which is needed. But at the end of the day, this game comes down to buckets. And so now we got to get Koulibaly to be so impactful on the offensive end that he's giving us buckets as well.
It's a refreshing, I don't even want to say problem. It's a refreshing thing to have to address as Wizard fan for once, that like, hey, there's this guy that really wants to play defense and is good at it. We just got to get him up to speed on the offensive end. It's usually like the exact opposite of that. So I'm encouraged by that so far too. And like the thing with Koulibaly, like we just don't know yet. Even 63 games wasn't really enough, I feel like, to get a full idea of what this kid's going to be. Not that you can ever like fully like write someone's whole career after their rookie year, but a lot of guys, you got like a pretty good sense for, okay, this is probably the role or archetype he fills. I still don't feel like I can peg like, here's where Koulibaly ends up in a couple of years here. So that's also exciting too, because I think, you know, to your point, like if he figures the offensive stuff out, you got a real multi-positional, impactful two-way guy. Like that would be a dream come true for this franchise.
Yeah, I mean, he just has he only has upside.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, he only has upside, and his upside is just all offensive, which is great. So to me, that's a really good thing, because he's very useful for us, because just in the game today, in the NBA game today, you don't get defensive players like him, where you could say every night your assignment is the greatest. It's the best player on the other team, and you're a rookie. Now, tell me, tell me any other team in the NBA that there's a rookie that's taking the strongest defensive assignments every night.
Doesn't have much.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a rare gem.
Yep, for sure. Big J 52 said in the chat that we've got a real non-family business front office, which I love, and player development. Got a coach the guys respond to and a few players to build with. I think that's totally fair. You know, we have mom and pop this a little bit, and now we've got the super friends running the team. So I think overall, a fairly good start. And James Duro asked a little bit about where we see Brian Keefe. So we'll get to Keefe here in a minute. Just we'll close out the rookie thing a little bit with, we talked a lot the last couple of weeks about how we feel about Vucevic. We don't want to have to belabor that too much, but this is the best two-person rookie class the Wizards have had in, I don't even remember when. Like, they've had a couple other, okay, this one rookie was maybe better than either of them individually, but where they got two guys in a draft that look like real long-term pieces to some level, I honestly don't remember but the last time that happened. Who else got drafted the year you got drafted, Jahadi? Was there another Wizard that year?
To the Wizards, I came in with I came in with Felipe Lopez.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Lopez
came in at the same time.
Obviously didn't stick long term, but I was going to say, I mean, you're one of the better second round picks in franchise history. I mean, like, that's my take on it, at least.
Well, that year, the Wizards didn't have a first round pick.
Right.
So they only had the second round pick. So I was second round, but I was their first choice that year.
That's exactly
right.
I look
at it like that.
I love that. Yeah, honestly. And I think they could use you on this current team, or whoever the 2024 Jahadi White is would fit in really well here too. They need some defense and some rebounding. And that's something I'd be looking at in this next draft class with whichever pick they want to use it on. But honestly, like, Vucevic is good enough, and he's not really a rookie to us, but a couple of young guys that they've added in, like, we both really liked Jared Butler. I think he's a nice young piece that they've added. He's basically a free draft pick for them. So that's one get already. And I hope that they're going to continue to do that. I'm actually down at the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament this week. And last night, first person I see when I walk into the gym is the Wizards G League team, the Capital City Go-Go's general manager, Amber Nichols, and two of the scouts. And they're sitting in like the third row, you know, actively watching some of these guys. And I think that's an interesting thing about this front office is I think they see that some of these older players that maybe aren't getting the sort of same shine on them with draft evaluation stuff can be impactful players. Like, they've added the Amaruis. Butler's a little older by those standards. You know, they tried to add like Jules Bernard and guys like that. So I think they see that there's still some opportunity here to get some of these older rookies cheaply that could come in and be positive impact players, you know, early in their career here, and maybe at least just push some of these other young guys too. So I like seeing them that, you know, I mean, every team's here, so it's not like they're doing anything special, but they seem pretty locked in and engaged, and they've done a good job with that so far, I think.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember that Portsmouth Invitational, man. I had to go there too. I played there and I coached in it. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's a very, very memorable place for me.
It's a fun event. Honestly, I'd never been before, and I figured it's close enough. This is the year to try to do it and knock it out. And it's just, it's weird now because you've got with the COVID year, you've got like multiple senior classes kind of jammed into one. You've got real fourth year guys and some fifth year guys. So it's like, okay, there's some real, like, real guys here too. And, you know, as a Maryland fan, the two Maryland, seniors were here. So that was kind of neat to see too. All right, let's get into some of the media day comments here a little bit. One on Coulibaly to end. Rashawn Holmes said on Coulibaly, the way he can read and react on defense is amazing. He's going to be a really, really big problem in the years to come. So I think that's exactly what we talked about. So good job, Rashawn Holmes. All right, let's start with sort of the coaching staff / front office here. A little bit in his comments, Brian Keefe pointed to some of the Wizards' biggest upsets as the high points of his tenure. their win against the Bucks, the win against the Heat, beating the Bulls. He said, "There, we know there's more work to do, but we're sure. But there was growth there for sure, and that was something like similarly echoed by Michael Winger. He kind of pointed to like, and he gave out this like weird stat that like, well, we started to win 40% of our quarters down the stretch, and like to me, it just seemed like really grasping at straws for like positive stuff, and I'm sure that's all like something." They look at like that's fine if you want to cling to the oh here it is says the Wizards won roughly 40% of their quarters and halves in the second half of the season. It's not a full game, he made clear, but he believes it was a sign of them being more competitive as the year went on, or teams knew they were going to run their asses early in the game and stopped trying for the rest of the quarters. But you know, context is a funny thing. So I appreciate them trying to put a positive spin on it, but as a fan, I don't want to hear that shit. You were trying to be bad on purpose. You succeeded. You got a high draft pick, and some of your young guys look better. Like, that's really all I need to hear from you. Like, plug ahead. Not we're trying to win more quarters now. It's kind of bush league, in my opinion. How would you take that if you're hearing that? Is that a worthwhile comment or not?
I mean, it is if you need it to be. Okay. But these days you can find a stat for anything.
Right, exactly. Right? Yes.
These days I've seen people win he's the first in free throws driving down the lane from the left side. I mean you can create a stat in anything now these days. So I mean, if I need a stat to be positive, hey, create me some type of positive stat.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it is true.
Yeah.
Right. And then
it's better than not being true. Yeah.
And you can look at it as something helpful for the future for your team.
Sure.
That you say, okay, so we did do this. What changed? What did we do in the fourth quarter? How, you know, you can go off that. Like, in the end of the day, though, I mean, with everything you just said, yeah, we didn't get a lot of wins. But the wins we did get, I don't know if you can look at those as super positive wins. They mm-hmm. are wins.
Sure.
Just knowing, playing in the NBA, understanding the NBA, just anybody who watches the NBA know that any team can get beat any night.
Mm-hmm.
So every team is going, the best team going to come out with losses.
Yep.
And the worst team going to come out with wins.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, I don't know how much you really take on that. Now you say, but the way we played during those wins, I saw a lot of positive things.
Mm-hmm.
I know now we have the capability of doing this as a team. We have a capability of moving the ball. We had a capability of playing in transition really good. We have the right, because I saw these things that we can build on.
Yeah.
So with him, I'm thinking he's saying, okay, in those wins, there were a lot of things that I took out of those wins that I'm going to really implement twice as much next year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I saw a lot of things.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Out in those fourth quarters that I can say, okay, this is when our players are really hitting on all cylinders. How can I take that fourth quarter and make it four quarters?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than that, you know, it's a press conference.
Exactly. I would have liked a little more of like, hey, we used this time to figure out how to put guys in the best, you know, situations or circumstances to be successful. I learned that, you know, this guy operates the best here. So that's what we're going to work. That's what we're going to build from next year. Like, this was a learning year. We're going to take some of these positives, and I'm with you. Like, the wins and losses, like, it's sort of, some of it's sort of random at a certain point in the season. But like, this was the meaningful takeaway is, hey, Jordan Poole on ball. Hey, Denny with the ball in his hands a little bit more. You know, Rashawn Holmes as a screen man and a dive man, like, he worked doing that. Like, those are the ones I would have liked to get like a little more time, and maybe he said them and I just missed that piece. But that means more to me as a fan is what we build from.
Well, and as a fan in those press conferences, you heard the players say that. They did mention that. They with Keith, they understood their roles much better.
Oh, for sure. The players said that a lot. Yeah, I agree.
They understood, hey, Jordan Poole, I need you to do this. This is what I'm looking for specifically. Mm-hmm. This is how I want you to, you know, play off your teammates, right? So when a player says that,
mm-hmm. it's the endorsement, right?
That's worth millions.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times players don't really, even though they know their position, they know how they play,
mm-hmm.
they don't know where they fit within the system. Or where the coaches view that they fit, right? Mm-hmm. I know how I fit. Mm-hmm. I know what I want, but I need to know how the coach breaks down what I have,
yeah,
and how he feels like it really fits his system. So now, me and the coach are on the same plane.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to know that the players and Keith are really, you know, on the same plane. Like, while they're on the floor, they understand, you know, the mental delivery of what he's expecting, yeah. And they can have that understanding, that communication.
Mm-hmm. That was almost the exact opposite of the media day reaction to Wes Unseld last year, unfortunately. Like, a lot of the comments last year this time were, well, it took coach a really long time to come around to us wanting to play faster. And it took coach well, we'd never understood why we weren't doing this. And to me, just reading the tea leaves here, I think the positive response from the players, and we'll get into a few more specific examples of that here in a minute, are just, and the way when asked about the coaching search, they were sort of like lukewarm and noncommittal about like, yeah, we'll put a list of guys together. And like, it wasn't like, oh yeah, you know, we're going to get all the best. It was just, I just, again, still feel like it's Brian Keefe's job to lose unless, you know, prime Phil Jackson comes in retirement somehow or comes to the time machine. Like, I think unless they're blown away by some other candidate, it's probably Keefe running it back. And again, I'm fine with that for the next year or two. And you see where it is. If the guys like him and they feel like they're getting better, and you as a front office feel like your young guys got better, like, that's fine. That's mission accomplished for the next season or two.
Yeah, I feel like he hasn't had enough of a chance to prove himself yet.
Yeah.
You first of all, you got to get him an entire year. Mm-hmm. And you got to give him something to work with.
Yeah. Get a few more pieces because in the door here.
If he doesn't have something that he can really build into a team,
mm-hmm.
or a certain guys that he can really make into contenders,
right?
Then,
not a fair shake.
It's kind of hard to judge him or hard to grade him, but then it's also, everybody wants to be a NBA head coach. That's great. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to be in a trap system where
an unwinnable situation.
Yeah, that you just walk yourself into a trap either.
Yeah, there are a couple guys you look at and you're like, that guy was probably a good coach. And it's like, he always took over as interim for some shit team and then got fired at the end of the year. And it's like, once you've done that four times, you're the guy that can't win anymore.
Yeah, you're the trap guy, right.
Will Dawkins said, I promise this is not BS. We're going to draft people first, not players. And they have to have core characteristics that will work in this building. And said that they're just, he talked a lot about the character piece and they kind of hammered in on culture and doing things the right way. And I don't think that that's lip service. Like, I think you look at the kind of guys they prioritized and gave contracts to. Jared Butler got a deal because he works hard and he plays hard. Amarui played really hard. I don't know that there's a ton of upside there, but they rewarded a guy that came in and busted his ass. Like, he's here. They were given Anthony Gill, leadership trophies every year. Like, they're clearly committed to that piece of it. So they're building culture with the players they bring in, but they're also rebuilding the image of the front office. And I think Bijan Todd from Monumental pulled this particular quote, but he said, or Corey Kispert said, that the strength from the front office this year was basically that they were really communicative with the players and transparent about things. And you heard that during the Kuzma trade thing, where they went to him and they were like, do you want to move? And Kispert kind of echoed that was something that they got a lot of feedback from them. And that was not something that happened a ton under the last two GMs. Like, Ernie notoriously didn't talk to players about stuff like that. And Tommy Shepard traded the franchise player immediately after taking over the job, without telling him, or after telling him he wouldn't trade him. So I think that's a really good stigma to try to remove as you try to rebuild this team moving forward. I'd feel a lot better about that as a free agent going to a place if I thought all right, they're going to do right by me the whole time.
Well, I agree with that. I agree. I like the way they did Kuzma. Mm-hmm. But see, people don't really understand this one either. Daniel Gafford gave the team what he needed to give them. He really mm-hmm. gave a lot to this team. He became mm-hmm. one of the most fan-liked players.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have shipped him off to purgatory.
Yeah.
They did him well. They did. You know what? You gave us what we're going to give you. Yep. We'll send you to Dallas, somewhere where you can definitely be utilized. Mm-hmm. Utilized right away. Somewhere where they definitely need you. Yeah, they're asking for you, but we could have rejected that trade.
Yeah.
Right? And so I do like how they're doing right by the players.
Yeah. Yeah, it's refreshing that they care about that angle of it. I mean, at the end of the day, you still have to make the team better. But so it doesn't mean that they won't make hard moves. It's just, we can try to do them the right way. We can try to be upfront about it. And I think that's worthwhile.
Well, they also know when it's all said and done, players talk.
Yeah, for sure.
Summertime players talk. Yep. And they talk about the organization. They mm-hmm. talk about the GM. They talk about, president of basketball operation. They talk about everything.
Yeah.
And by the end of the summer, those guys that you don't want to trust, those organizations you don't want to trust, mm-hmm. and those organizations that do right by it. I remember when I was playing, everybody wanted to go to Dallas.
Yeah, they had the best locker rooms and took good care of you and chefs and all this other stuff, right?
And they just how the organization just really looks out, takes mm-hmm. care of you, treats you well, don't not try to backstab you. In the end of the day, professional basketball is a business,
mm-hmm.
right? And any business, you're gonna ask for shrewd people.
Yeah.
So it's good to be at an organization where you don't have to worry about all the shrewdness,
mm-hmm.
you know, within the team, between the team and upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And that's, I think players probably look at the other players that a team brings in too. Like if it's, hey, they got a bunch of good dudes over there that work hard and play hard. Like that's something I might want to join in also.
Yeah.
They've got a bunch of knuckleheads. You're like,
right.
They don't seem to care about that kind of stuff. I think that would impact it too. Like nobody wants to go work for a company with a bunch of assholes.
Well, you don't want to walk in it because it can affect your money.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to go walk in the locker room where it's a lot of cancers.
Yeah, dysfunction right? is bad.
And now me and this player don't get along. Now I got to be with him all season. And now it's bad blood. So now it's just a miserable season because me and this player don't get along either. And before you know it, you know, something's going to happen. And I'm going to be the bad guy. And all this tension is brewing. So when they say they're looking for people and not players, right? Pete the person first, not players. That is the player.
Exactly.
Right? At the end of the day, that good person is going to be end up making a better team and being a better player.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, that good person is going to mean that like a lot of selfishness out the window. It's going to be a person who can help out another player that can take them under their wing, right? Mm-hmm. So that what makes great teams a lot of times.
Yep. We talked a lot before the preseason about just some of the, or before the season started in the preseason about how these guys were all lovey-dovey and, you know, this is the best locker room and all this kind of stuff. And we said, like, well, let's see how they react when they get punched in the mouth a little bit. And they just had about as bad a season as you can have. And they're still pretty lovey-dovey toward each other. And I think that says something here, too, because you can tell some years when guys are over each other. And we've had that a lot in the last couple of years where it's just like, this dude is clearly ready to move on. And he didn't hear that. And I got to get my one poke in at the stands of certain players here. But it's if you like Denny, you have to hate Kuzma. And if you like Kuzma, you have to hate Poole. And if you like Poole, you have to hate Denny. And like these guys don't feel that way about each other. Like they all speak glowingly about each other. And I feel like I have a good enough BS detector about what's lip service and what isn't. And, you know, if you don't want to say something about a guy, you may just not say anything. But when they're like glowingly positive stuff, it says something. And Kuzma said, when he asked about how it was with this group this year, he said it was great. We didn't have fingers pointing at everybody. We didn't have drama. We were just with each other. I think that's important because I've been on a lot of different teams where that wasn't there. It was just hell coming to work every day. Families fight, families argue, right? But it was nothing demoralizing. That was great. It made it fun to come to work. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, why does Kuzma want to be here? He go win somewhere or whatever. But if you just like what you're doing, I mean, and you like where you are and they treat you well, I mean, that seems pretty good to me. I think that's an important thing that maybe we kind of look over a lot of times.
No, I think it's very important. Now, granted, I've been on teams like Wizards. When I played for the Wizards, that was the most family environment with my teammates I ever been on. I thought the entire NBA was like that, and it was completely different.
Yep.
Now, it wasn't the winningest team I've been on. We didn't win a lot, always win that many games, right? Mm-hmm. But it was the closest teammates I had all the way through. Like, you know, sometimes it's the vets hang together. Sometimes the rookies hang together. Sometimes it's the certain guys, it's cliques.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't cliques. It wasn't separation between the vets and the rookies,
right?
It was we all hung together. We would all go over each other's house. We always throw an event, have everybody over there for dinner, whoever it was. I mean, I was like, oh, okay. I like how the NBA is.
This is great. It's a real atmosphere.
And I got traded. And I was like, this is not how the Wizards was. It's like, it's supposed to be. So now I'm critiquing everything from how tight the Wizards were.
Yeah.
Right. But I've been on teams that was much more winnable teams that were nothing family oriented like that.
Sure.
Now, to me, it was some things that still divided the team that the organization would do was you can't separate the players on so many different tiers, even though their salary is so far apart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been on teams where the highest player gets the closest parking lot to the arena, and the least paid player get the furthest parking lot. You're just separating players, yeah. Right? But I'm saying that to say this. That's good. That's great, and that's good, and that's fine and dandy and all. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't always transition over to winning.
100%.
A lot of your best teams that won championships, the Bulls or, you know, the Houston Rockets when Hakeem Olajuwon, those are the most toughest mm-hmm. teams where the players went through hell with each other.
Yep.
So, yeah. You know, you have to, when you have those type of teams that's really lovey-dovey, which is fine, there has to be some very strict accountability.
Yep, that's big.
Within the team. Within mm-hmm. the team as well.
Not to like be the old man that overly generalizes, but I feel like younger players now at all levels are like a little more sensitive to some of this stuff too. And you have to just come at them a certain kind of way. So if there is a good relationship and good trust there, hopefully this is something that they can use to build that accountability. But I'm with you. Like that's probably the most important piece you can have in a locker room is like, you know, we don't tolerate certain things here. And I would much rather hear they all like each other. But like you said, some of the best teams of all time, the guys, they went their separate ways the minute they left the locker room until the next day.
Look at the Chicago Bulls when they going to hate the Bulls tour. None of them talk to each other pretty much. Okay. So like, but that's because it was so much accountability and people were held to a certain standard and held to a certain mm-hmm. Bringing a certain effort every night. You know, it was mandatory.
Mm-hmm. I think the liking each other is good if you can use that as a springboard for, hey, look, you trust me. I'm telling you real. This is what we need from you. If it becomes, well, I like you too much to say anything that you might take the wrong way, then that becomes kind of a negative there. But anyway, a lot of the guys, and you mentioned this earlier, said like good stuff about Keith. And I think that accountability may have been there more so. And the roles piece was big. Kuzma also said we started to compete when Brian Keith took over. That's the biggest thing, competing. Everybody wants to win in the NBA, but there's only one winner every year. There's 29 losers. It's not really enjoyable to have your face kicked in every night and have the game be over at halftime, but we competed more. I mean, a lot of guys mentioned the word compete. And now they have a part to play in that also. We talked about this two episodes ago. I don't love the like, what was all Wes's fault? We didn't compete thing. But there was a very noticeable thread there of these guys felt like something he did got them to lock in more. And that's good to see also.
And we didn't come out with a lot of wins that second half tail end of the season when the coaching change happened.
Yeah.
But you and I both did talk about it, and you did see them compete.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say they didn't really compete.
I agree. Yeah, you're always going to have a few nights. Like the best teams in the league have a few nights where they get the doors blown off. Like that's not an uncommon thing. But there weren't as many like we got rolled by 30 at halftime kind of
right.
games. And that's good. Okay, so I'll do a couple of these quickly here because I think they're related. Brandon Scott of Locked On Wizards asked Kuzma about just like, what does he want to work on next? And he said, learning to get others more involved, making others better, not having to score 30 every night, wants to come back in different shape. I talked about being the top of the scouting report and having plays run for you is a big jump. And he maybe wasn't as ready to do that as he needed to be. So peak endurance was a thing that came up a lot. Denny Avdia said it's nice to see, you know, results and that his hard work paid off, that sort of thing. But he won't stop there. He said he can be better off ball defensively. And he wants to be able to handle the ball better and be able to go both ways. So something the fans have talked about for a long time was got to work on that left hand at some point. It's great that they couldn't stop you going right that much. But now if you have a counter, that's even better. A lot of those kinds of comments from players, which I thought were really good. The one I thought was a little funny and just points to him being a different sort of dude. They asked, Jordan Poole what he hopes to add this offseason. He said, I couldn't tell you because I'd be giving out the sauce. Like, what? It's just, I mean, that's just like an intentional choice to be a different dude at that point. Like, you could even just, like, I'm going to work on my leadership. Like, this is one where I would have liked to hear some kind of lip service-y answer, but I can't tell you because it's a secret. It's like, bro, no one is trying to sneak into the gym and record your workouts this year and find out, oh, Jordan Poole's coming for us.
It's just the wrong guy.
I know, man.
It's just, I'm not coming to play the Wizards and worry about Jordan Poole's sauce.
Right.
Right.
He's worried about it more than anybody else
is. Like, your sauce is not high in 57.
You got,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
sauce, ketchup here.
Like, I may want to steal high 57's recipe.
Exactly.
But I don't want to steal Uncle Johnny's gravy recipe. I put it on a biscuit, but cool. I'm good. I'm good. We can, you know, but I think he just, come on, man. You know, as soon as you think like, okay, it's clicking, you like that. It's still Poole, still Jordan Poole. And in the day, it's still him. You have to make an impact in this league and be a top tier player in this league for somebody to care about your sauce.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's see the guy we saw for the last month and build on that. And then maybe that's a guy next offseason people will care about your sauce. Yeah.
You got to put some ingredients in it first.
Right. Exactly. Need a little season.
Give us the ingredients. They asking you for a few ingredients.
Right.
You don't even have sauce yet. you know, they're just saying, all right, what are you building upon?
This is one where even
you
if it's full
my shooting has to get better.
Right, exactly.
You know, Kuzma made a complete sense. It's like, hey man, I'm on a scout report and I'm the number one guy. They're saying, hey, today we're playing the Wizards. This is what Kuzma do. We have to stop. We want to limit him to this.
Yeah, it's right. A big change. It's a
right. Shift. So he's saying, all right, I'm working my butt off, but I'm not able to. It's up to me to give 30. It's too hard. I need to get myself in better shape. And I need to find a way where I don't have to get 30 every night and I can distribute and we can still get wins.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You know, sauce.
No, I just looked at that one and was like, really? Locked on Law said in the chat, Poole could work on his defense. Yeah, I would have loved to hear that. Even if, again, you don't mean it. Hey, like, I got to get better on ball next year. Like,
just saying, look at that. It's all they're saying is, do you recognize your strengths and do you recognize your weaknesses?
Exactly. Yep. If you had an underwhelming year, I think by all accounts, give us a little bone here. He did say some better.
And I swear I believe he was so serious when he said
that. 100%. Yeah, it was not a joke. Yeah. Can't tell you. Government secret. He did say, we're building something and it takes time. Right now we're putting in the nails. We're leveling the ground. This is all the stuff that goes unseen, goes unnoticed when it comes to building a house. A lot of people just see the finished product. And then he told the younger guys today would be the start of a new season and that they need to treat it like that. So there were some things in there that were better. And I was like, okay, I live with this. But I just couldn't resist not bringing up the sauce one because it was just like, come on, man. Like,
well, the rest of his answers was some type of redemption, at least.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm saving face here a little bit so I don't get clowned too much, but it's pretty funny. Yeah, like I said, so Denny said some good stuff too. And I don't know. Look, he said last year going into the media day, like, here's what I need to work on. And he got better on two of those three things. That's mission accomplished. Like, if you can hear my three biggest holes, I got better at two of them. The only one the going left thing, he didn't really make noticeable improvement, but he also didn't really need to do that a ton. Now that people are going to take him a little more seriously next year, he's going to have to do that more. So lock in on that one.
And do we know that he didn't make improvement going left?
That's true. We didn't get to see it enough to really know.
If my right is working,
Right, exactly. I'm not going to that. Yeah.
I don't care how much I worked on going left. I'm
always going right.
I'm not going there if I'm constantly capable of going right. And he's been constantly capable of going right.
Yep. I totally agree. Tyus Jones said some good stuff about.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders. That's paycor.com/leaders.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Akeef, too, they found a better rhythm under him. He was another guy that mentioned competing specifically. He said, we were competing way more, and you could feel it. You could see from the outside looking in, but you could definitely feel it inside the locker room. The thing I didn't love as much from Jones, and this is not so much a him thing, because I like him in a vacuum, but he got asked about staying, and he said, anything can happen, but my family and I love DC. We want to be here, and I want to help this team continue to build and move in the right direction. That's great. Said, but the plan is to be a starter. And that's the conundrum here, right? And I want to give the right credit here. I want to say that this came from Chase Hughes. Asked Michael Winger about that Tyus Jones Jordan Poole dynamic. And he said, look, it's a very complex conversation to have. They both like having the ball in their hands. It's our job to figure out how to make that work. There are 29 other teams that know that Tyus is a good player. So I would not be shocked to see him be in a sign-in trade based on that comment. I don't know, but I think they realized that that won't work longer term.
Well, it was the last part. It was the last sentence.
Exactly.
Just like, okay, all right, basically.
Bye-bye.
There's 29 other teams that know Tyus is a good player.
Exactly.
That means he's very tradable.
Exactly. Sign-in trade.
Say there's 29 other teams that know Poole is a good player.
Exactly. You can't trade Poole.
Right. So there you go. That last statement was everything.
Exactly. I was like,
oh, anything before that means nothing.
Exactly. You could basically delete the first half, you know, after that. So that was, I think that shed some lights on where they're with Poole. Like if they can get him on a cheap deal and they can't find the right move for him, I think you may see him stay for, you know, first half of next year or whatever until somebody needs another guard and they try again. It never makes no sense that that quote was from Craig Hoffman and not Chase. Thank you for keeping me honest there. I am out of town. I do not have my notes. I couldn't print stuff out, so I'm working from my phone here. So I love to try to attribute all the right guys. So cut me a little slack here if I miss a couple of guys. But yeah, it was just that was sort of one of those things where it's like, okay, thanks, Tyus. And his plan may be to be the starter. That may not be the organization's plan. So.
Well, he basically said what he needed to say too. Hey, look, yeah. I like it here, but if I'm not starting, I'm out.
Exactly. And that's what I want. And, you know, he's got,
but you gotta be careful with that. Tyus got to be careful with that too.
Because, I know. Cause there's a lot of teams that are like, nope, don't want to touch that now.
He's not a guaranteed starter type of player.
Right.
Exactly. And if he is, it's going to be on teams like right now, teams like the Wizards or, you know, teams that needs that hungry for any type of point.
Exactly. All right, let's see. Oh, Winger had some interesting comments on Poole. Winger said of Poole, he kept saying, I'm going to work, and the work will pay off. He had a slump, but he came through because he's a worker, gamer, hooper, high-character player. It was moving. And if you watch that part of the clip, like, he seemed very sincere about it. Like, that they felt like, you know, he was trying to do the right things to turn that thing around. And that actually, their reaction to it seemed genuine enough that it made me feel a little bit better about Poole longer term. Because, again, you can tell when guys are like full of shit about something. Like, yeah, Jordan struggled. And like, but he was like, it meant something to him, I think, that Poole was like actually like trying to figure stuff out. And it just, he didn't have the answers maybe. So that Poole's probably here for a while is what I took from that. One, because the play wouldn't allow you to trade him. But two, I think they probably see him as a piece. And the way they talked about it, it just seemed like that they've kind of, they like what he's about. So that was an interesting one, I think.
I like the direction he's going. I mean, in the end of the day, you can't really do anything. Can't move him right now. So, and if I can, he does have the potential to be a good player and potential to be a solid player. Yeah. And I like not only the direction he's going, it's that you can actually see it. It's just not words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't have expected it to be at this point to where I would think it would be just words at this point, but fortunately, it's not. Fortunately, we are starting to see some growth with him. Just even in his press conferences, he understands like, hey, like we got to have a foundation. We're starting to build the foundation now. And I was going brick by brick, and I'm like, oh, okay. And it really made sense.
The thing with Poole, like he did say some just like goofy shit throughout the year of just like, okay, maybe he doesn't get it, but, and this is something Dave said in the chat here. At no point did he blame his teammates. I never once heard like, well, if these idiots would get me the ball where I like it, or, you know, like you don't hear that as much in the NBA today anyway, I don't feel like, but, you know, if you're playing that bad, you learn a lot about someone when they're at their lowest point, I think, especially in competition. And when people are raw in that moment after struggling, especially, people lash out sometimes, right? It happens. And it's not irredeemable. Like, it's a human thing. But I don't remember hearing a single one of those from him where he was like, you know, F these guys, basically. Not that he would say it that way. But, like, that was never the subtext even of just like, well, I'm here with a bunch of losers in Loserville. It was always like, oh, don't worry, like, I'll figure it out. You know, I'm taking the right shots. I'm doing me. And I didn't always love some of those things, but it was still, you know, I think he's just a different sort of dude, and I'm going to have to get used to that. But I think it was more mature than maybe I gave it credit for earlier in the year.
I think the maturity slowly came.
Yeah.
Because it was certain video and videos that was captured of him. That was just in the huddle, that was very immature, but also overly cocky, right? The fact that he thought the entire team was here. This is my team. I know the play. This is my team. Like, he literally said that. It was on video. And I think a lot of awakening happened when the organization gave Keith the go-ahead. They're like, look, if you need to do whatever, you need to do it. But when he sat down, and he had to sit down and he didn't get to start, and reality kicked in. He was like, oh, I'm not in control of this.
Yeah.
So maybe I should try to figure it out and listen.
I also liked the way he handled that particular move. Like, he said, I don't like this move, but I'll do whatever they need me to do. And that's kind of the right balance, I think. We're like, you don't want a guy to be happy about being benched. Like, you don't want someone like, yeah, I totally get it. I suck. But you also don't want him to be like, this is bullshit. Like, get me out of here. So he took it the right way. It didn't last. Now, partly because Tyus got hurt at that point. But
well, it could have either went one or two ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think part of the test was, let's see which way it's going to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he.
Yeah, you learn a lot about him. Yeah.
He took the bigger person route.
Yep, exactly. And I think that's why you see Winger being like, oh, okay, like this. Maybe he's a good dude. So that's interesting. Just kind of wrapping up the other stuff here. In general, like, I think most fans kind of knew the assignment this year. You know, like, we weren't supposed to be particularly good. So there wasn't like, I mean, like, Poole himself got booed. But the overall team, like, it wasn't like, I think there was more booing in the last couple of years when they were trying to win and they're not doing well than there were in this year where they didn't win 20 games. So, like, I think we got it, but I wonder how long that patience lasts as a fan base too. Like, I would like to see them make, like, this year, I thought they would be in the mid 20s as a win mark. Still not good, still in the bottom 6-7 for sure, but more competitive than they were. I think if you see this team do this exact same thing next year, where it looks like a 15-16 win team, the patience is going to wear out very quickly with fans. And the front office may not care because they got to do what they need to do. But I would like to see them make like incremental wins. If this is a 25-26 win team next year, I think people can live with that because you've seen some progress, assuming all the young guys get better and there's some young, exciting pieces. So I would try to add just enough in the offseason to like give them a little boost while still not sacrificing the development of the young guys. Does that seem like a reasonable way to look at this offseason?
No, it is. It is. And at the end of the day, you have, for a fan base, you have to see a gradual change.
Yep.
A gradual change and growth every year, right? Mm-hmm. Next year, I'm not expecting to see the same thing I've seen this year.
Right.
Like, I can't. I have to see some of the same players I see. I have to see them, their roles expanding.
Exactly.
Them becoming individually better team. Mm-hmm. I want to see the coach becoming an individually better coach with the players. I'm also looking at his offense and defense, what he's running, you know, mm-hmm. what the rotations are, where are they stopping? So I'm breaking down all of that. I want to see, you know, what trades happen. Like, who are we getting in the draft, right? So, I need more wins next year.
Exactly.
I'm not having over expectations next year either.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to know we're going in some type of direction.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. So you want to see the plan, and you want to see them make progress toward that plan. I think. Fans can always, like, if they know what's going on, I think we can, like, okay, got it. But they're moving towards something. When it's like, what the heck are these guys doing? We haven't seen anything. There's not that many young guys. A lot of old vets for a bad team. That's when I think it becomes hard to, like, you know, kind of make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Johnny, any kind of final thoughts you have here before we close this one out? If not, I got one fan question for you. Let me do that first real quick, actually. So Esquire Relly asks, we consider Corey a knockdown shooter at 38% for the year. Is Denny also a knockdown shooter now since he was at 37.5%? For any non-Wizards fan that looks at this, I'm not saying 37-38% for the league is knockdown. It is just by Wizard standards. For reference, I wouldn't consider sub 39% lights out, but if Corey is the best shooter on our team, it's basically like, is Denny right there with Corey as a shooter, and should we start to kind of treat him more like, you know, that mentally? Like, we talk about Corey being like the sharp shooter.
I always thought they were neck and neck anyway as far as three shooting threes. I think that, but now do I consider them knockdown shooters? Right? I think I consider them good shooters.
Yeah. I agree.
You can shoot the three. I consider them a type of players. If they shoot the three, I'm not concerned.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
There's certain players that, you know, like, hey, some, you may need to drive the ball a little bit too, like taking too many threes. I'm not concerned about them shooting threes, but I don't consider them knockdown shooters. I consider like a Klay Thompson in his heyday a knockdown shooter.
Steph is a pretty close to knockdown
shooter. Steph is a knockdown shooter. I consider Denny and Corey as guys who can really shoot the three.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good, but not amazing. Like, if you're a knockdown shooter, make a three-point contest somewhere. You know, like that kind of thing would be
right. If you're a knockdown shooter, you're that guy that you stick in the corner and you get him just for that role, like a J.J. Redick or you know, like you're only Ray Allen. Mm-hmm. Your only job is to shoot this three. Exactly. That's a knockdown shooter.
Mm-hmm. I think to his question though, like Corey still has that sort of stigma of this is a shooter, so he gets a little more credit for that, even though the percentages aren't like elite yet. But there is probably some room for him to grow too. Whereas Denny is a sub 30 guy that's now turned himself into a fringe 40 guy, and so it'll take a little while for him to kind of get that credit for it too. Okay. The 23-24 season is now over. After this episode, it's officially the 24-25 season. So I'm looking forward to it. John, I just want to say thank you to you. This was a lot of fun for me. It made what was a tough year to watch as a fan more enjoyable to get to do this every week, and hope people listening felt the same way. So thank you. And I'm looking forward to next year being even more fun as we build as a show and they rebuild this franchise.
Oh, thanks right back to you, and thanks for the fans, man. You know, this is fun, and it's good to be able to follow the season and be able to talk about it with you. So I appreciate you, my man.
Thank you, sir. For everybody listening, obviously rate, review, subscribe. We love all that stuff. But if you have stuff you want to hear us talk about this offseason, or things we could do different, or segments you want us to add, or questions you want to get in, just shoot them our way, and we'll make sure we hit as much of that as we want. Again, we want this to be interactive. Didn't get to as much of the chat here as I would have tried to normally today, just because I want to get through those quotes, but we got plenty of off-season for this, so send us your questions, and thank you to all of you. Thanks to the Wizards. This is Believe in Wizards, represented by betonline.ag, and we will catch you all next time.
Yeah.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
This episode is brought to you by Paycor, the HR and payroll software made for leaders. It's never been harder to recruit, hire, and engage workers. That's why HR leaders and frontline managers depend on Paycor for all things people management, from onboarding and performance reviews to compensation and benefits. Learn more at paycor.com/leaders. That's paycor.com/leaders.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.